Amazing Super Bowl. This is the Football Front Podcast. Today I'm going over three things mainly. Super Bowl A, Derek Carr getting released B, and why not the XFL? That's coming up this weekend. You know, might as well have some fun with that. But first things first, we got the big game. The Super Bowl LVII. Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs win it 38. 35 on one of the most amazing second halves I've ever seen a quarterback play. That was insane. So I'm going to go kind of quarter by quarter. First quarter, it's seven, you know, it's 7-7 at the end of it. Hurts gets the 1 yard QB sneak in. I believe it was a QB sneak. I think it was a QB sneak. Travis Kelce then also gets an 18 yard pass from Patrick Mahomes. And so that's the first quarter basically in terms of scoring. It was tight. Let's say tight. Yeah, we'll say tight. So yeah, first quarter. Touchdown Eagles, first drive of the game. They looked amazing on that drive. They were driving, only took them 4 minutes, 51 seconds to get them 11 plays in, 75 yards. They were going. They were the that was good. And then you go to the Chiefs, 6 plays, 75 yards, 12 minutes, 12 seconds. Pacheco got that big run for 28 yards. Mahomes get past Kelce, another 20 yards. That was just big plays. 24 yards again for Pacheco later. Pacheco again for 2 yards and then 18 yards in for Travis Kelce. Now, it was a fast drive. They got right to the point. Then it was punt, slow, missed. Then it was the missed field goal. I thought that was going to cost the Chiefs the game. I honestly thought with the Chiefs missing that field goal, I'm like, they're going to lose by three. Just saying, they're going to lose by three. And then we go into the second quarter. Or sorry, no, this is the end of the first time. No, is it? No, I think this is. Okay, so this starts in the first, ends in the second. It was 5 plays, 68 yards in 2 minutes. They had the big play. I believe it was, yeah, AJ Brown 45-yard touchdown to start the second half or second quarter, right? Beautiful throw. They got the touchdown. Then it looked like the Chiefs aren't looking good. Missed a field goal. Punted. Eagles are looking on top of it. Then they go and punt it. Three and out for the Chiefs. Not a good look. But then this is the crucial play in this second quarter. Jalen Hurts just runs. Completely forgets that the ball is in his hands. Let's go of it. Nick Bolton recovers it. 36 yards later, he's in the end zone. And thank gosh, Harrison Butker made the extra point. Because, you know, that would give him a little confidence after missing that field goal. But that is probably the turning point in the game, in my opinion. Not the turning point, but it's kind of tough to because it wasn't really the turning point, but it was the turning point. Because without that touchdown, it's a completely different game going into the half. It is, I they if they even if they just get a field goal on it, it's still gonna be like a more than like a two possession game probably, which is not the situation you want to be in at halftime. Instead, at the end of quarter two, I was 24-14. So it was two possessions, but it could have been something like 27-7, which is going to be a tough hole for the Chiefs to dig out of. So after the fumble returned for the touchdown, sorry, my computer is lagging a little bit here. The Chiefs go back. They score a touchdown. They come back strong. Go 75 yards in 12 plays. They get the touchdown. Jalen Hurts again. He had three rushing touchdowns that game. He was phenomenal. If the Eagles win that game, he's easily a Super Bowl MVP, no doubt about it. And then this isn't a good look for the Chiefs. They go punt it again and give the Eagles time and they go down and hit a field goal at halftime. It's 24-14. Not a good look for the Chiefs. And we had the halftime show. In my opinion, it was pretty solid. Good halftime show. Not what we're here for, though. Starting the second half. Huge, huge start for the Chiefs. 10 plays, 75 yards in 5 minutes. They go down the field. They get a touchdown. Now it's 24-21. It's a game. They get it. You know, it's a game. It's a game. Eagles aren't intimidated. They go down. They hit a field goal. And it's 27-21. Chiefs, they're in it, but they're not out of it. But this isn't the situation they got. This isn't definitely the situation they want to be in. So now, Eagles go down and kick a field goal. They remain resilient. And now the score is 20. Yeah, the field goal, sorry. They remain resilient. They got down. It's 27-21. Now with the touchdown, and the Chiefs respond. This is, I believe, the first Chiefs lead of the game. 28-27, Kansas City. After the touchdown from shoot, who was it? Kadarius Toney. Yeah. After, I believe it was the, this was off the punt. No, this was not off the punt return. Sorry. Yeah, this is about to come in a second. So yeah, this is just a nice, not methodical, but very nice, well done drive. Chiefs. This is where Juju Smith-Schuster starts to come alive. This is where Kadarius Toney starts to come alive. Gets the 5 yard thing on the play they called corn dog. According to Andy Reid, this play was called corn dog, but it worked twice for them. They got two touchdowns out of it. So, Kadarius Toney comes in towards the line of scrimmage right before he snaps it, and then makes an out. No one's guarding him. No one was within 10 yards of him. He walks into the end zone. Easy touchdown for the Chiefs. Then Chiefs force a three and out, and then it's Kadarius Toney time. He returns it 45. Or, yeah, but it was, I think it was 45 yards. No, 65 yards. 65 yard return for Kadarius Toney. At this point, this man is on fire. This man is amazing. And then Chiefs go down five, only need 5 yards. They get it on the same play, corn dog to Sky Moore, and they get it. Comes in, comes out, no one's guarding him. It works. So now at this point, it's 35-27. This is a tight game. The Chiefs, or sorry, the Eagles need a touchdown. They get it. They only need 8 plays in 4 minutes, and they go down the field. Jalen Hurts to Devontae Smith for 45 yards. Then you Jalen Hurts rushes it in for 2 yards, and then gets the 2-point conversion as well. It's a tie game. Then here is the most critical play in the game. Basically, the final drive of the game. I'll go through it play by play. Pacheco for 3 yards. And then 10 yards to Juju Smith-Schuster pass. Pacheco for two. Injured during the play. Pass to for 7 yards to Travis Kelce. Meanwhile, this all happens in 5 minutes, might add. Pacheco for 10. Mahomes, this is one of the biggest plays of the game, in my opinion. Goes 26 yards on the scramble. This puts them in a much better position with time. They can go down the field. They don't have to be zoom, zoom, zoom because they know they're in a better field position now, and they don't need to rush just to get the first downs and all this stuff. So that's a huge play. And then Pacheco up the middle for 2 yards. 2 minute warning. Second and eight. Mahomes pass to Smith-Schuster, no gain. Mahomes, this is the critical play. Third and eight at the Philadelphia 15. Patrick Mahomes takes the snap, drops back, throws it to his left. Off the line, Juju Smith-Schuster apparently gets held. I watched it. It looks like a hold to me. I'll get more down that in a second. Under James Bradbury, he throws it, gets the flag, and it's now first and 10. Okay, this is, I've heard a lot of takes about this play, this call in general. Stephen A. Smith, oh, well, look, we were robbed of Jalen Hurts there when we get the when the hold. That was not hold. Okay. By the letter of the law, that is the hold. That is a hold.
But
I see what everyone's arguing here.
if you ask me, if I was the ref, in that moment, you have to make a decision. We're blaming the refs. These guys are just doing their job. They're trying to follow the rules to the letter of the law. And that's what they did. James Bradbury admits to the holding. And it was the right call, in my opinion. But my question is that the call you make with less than a minute on the clock, is that the call you make? At that point, as long as it's consistent, I'm fine with it. But also, you also keep in mind that you don't want to influence the game like that. Because this is the difference between the Eagles winning potentially. I'm not going to lie that the Eagles could have gone back one game or got a field goal, won an overtime. And here's the thing, no one is going to look back at that play and at, if they don't call it and be like, oh, that's the reason the Chiefs didn't win. They missed the holding. No one was going to talk about it because it wasn't a blatantly obvious hold. It was a hold, but it wasn't blatantly obvious. But because of this, it's a five, four, sorry, captain's in scoring, I believe, 4 yards. I have to, but they get 4 yards off of it. And this sets up a Jerick McKinnon run to the, up the left side, and he sits on the 1 yard line. Instead of going for the end zone, that way they can give the give themselves less, give the Eagles less time. Very smart play. Seen it many times before. Then Mahomes drops back, second and one, kneels it for -5 yards. So at this point, it's third and six. Mahomes will kneel, and then the wait, and take a timeout with 11 seconds left. So now it's up to Harrison Butker to make the field goal. He makes a 27-yard field goal. It's good. Then and they just gave Philly 8 seconds. They can't make the. Jalen Hurts throws it. Doesn't get enough juice on it. And that's the end of the game. Super Bowl MVP, Patrick Mahomes. My opinion, it was Patrick Mahomes. But any if the Eagles win it or even send it to overtime, it's Jalen Hurts. It is Jalen Hurts. He was arguably the best quarterback there. I'm just gonna say that. Going over the stats now. Patrick Mahomes is 21 to 27, 182 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. His only incompletion in the entire second half was the stinking little ring around the rosy thing. And that was that's a play, I'll tell you that much. I'll tell you what was a problem in this game. That field was way too slow. I don't know what they did to it, but like twice on touchdown celebrations, multiple times in the game, someone just slipped and fell, and I don't know what. That was weird. It was like they didn't give enough time for the paint to dry. Everyone was just slipping and sliding. It was weird. It was really weird. Patrick Mahomes also did all of this. You saw it at the end of the second quarter. Mahomes is in serious pain. You can visibly see him limping very much, and that's a problem for them. This is a problem. And but he gets halftime, the extended halftime because of the halftime show. He gets like 5 minutes before that because they're not on the field. And it's he gives Patrick Mahomes, he comes back, he looks phenomenal. He does everything. I'm watching the tackle that he got hurt on right now. It was a very visible tackle. He definitely you could see where he got hurt. Jalen Hurts on the other side. He was 27 to 38. He threw the ball more. But he also ran the ball more. 304 yards and a touchdown. I'd say Mahomes was the better quarterback in the second half. Hurts in the first half. It was back and forth there. Mahomes is the reason they won the game. I know it. And you can't dispute that. In the rushing game, the Chiefs' rushing game was better. But the Philadelphia, they had that big time dual threat. With Jalen Hurts, he was on fire. For the Chiefs, their leading rusher was Isaiah Pacheco. He had 15 carries, 76 yards, and a touchdown. His longest run was 24 yards. Patrick Mahomes was behind him. He had a longest run of 26 yards. He had a total of 6 carries, 44 yards. That 26-yard run was critical there in the second half. And Jerick McKinnon, 4 carries, 34 yards. He's more of a passing game kind of guy. And then Sky Moore with 1 carry for 4 yards.
On Philadelphia side, their leading rusher was actually Jalen Hurts, 15 carries, 70 yards. He accounted for slightly less than half of their carries. He also had three touchdowns, though. You can't argue it. Long of 28, longest run of the game. Kenneth Gainwell had 7 carries, 21 yards. Miles Sanders, 7 carries, 16 yards. I'm surprised we didn't see him as much. Boston Scott had 3 carries of 8 for 8 yards. In the receiving game, Kansas City's receiving game was phenomenal. They had the depth, they had all of it. Travis Kelce, 6 receptions, 81 yards, and a touchdown on 6 targets. He was phenomenally 22 yards, longest play was critical. Juju Smith-Schuster came on in second half, 7 receptions, 53 yards on 9 targets. Justin Watson was solid when they needed him to be. 2 receptions, 18 yards, and on 2 targets. Jerick McKinnon, 3 receptions, 15 yards. Would have been a touchdown, but he sat down on the goal line making a smart play. Noah Gray, receptions for 6 yards. Kadarius Toney got his 1 reception for 5 yards, but it was a critical touchdown. Same thing with Sky Moore, except he only had 4 yards. But Kadarius Toney, he was a difference maker with that punt return. They didn't need him. They didn't need him to be as involved in the receiving game. They needed him to have that big punt return, which is exactly what he did. He was critical with that. Pair that to Philadelphia, 7 receptions, 100 yards from Devontae Smith. He had that 45-yard bomb. So did AJ Brown. Maybe both got the 45-yard bombs from Jalen Hurts. AJ Brown had 6 receptions for 96 yards. Both of them were phenomenal. I can't blame them on any of this. Dallas Goedert was also pretty solid. 6 receptions, 60 yards, long of 17 on 7 targets. Then outside of that, they'd had nothing. Zach Pascal, 2 receptions, 11 yards. Kenneth Gainwell out of the back, 4 receptions, 20 yards. Nothing really, nothing else out of them. But if you look at fumbles, Creed Humphrey, I don't know what that was. I don't recognize that. Patrick Mahomes recovered a fumble. Nick Bolton recovered the fumble and took it back to the house. But the critical fumble for Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts fumbled it and lost it. And that was critical. I'd say it's the reason the Chiefs won the game. I don't get what everyone's saying with the holding call. It was a hold. It was the right call. But the Jalen Hurts fumble is the reason that the Eagles lost that game. It wasn't as much of a sack fest as everyone thought. There was only 2 sacks in the game, both from Kansas City. Kalen Saunders and Leo Chenal. I had the 2 sacks, only 2 of the game. Nick Bolton, though. Nick Bolton was huge. He had the fumble return. He had 9 tackles. It was amazing. He was amazing. He had the touchdown off the return. Willie Gay was also pretty solid. He had 8 total tackles with 2 tackles for loss. Leo Chenal had the big sack, which was also 6 tackles. L'Jarius Sneed, 7 tackles. Weston Reed, 7 tackles. Trent McDuffie, 5 tackles. Juan Thornhill, 5 tackles, 1 for loss. Joshua Williams, 4. Jalen Watson, 3. Chris Jones, 3. Kalen Saunders, 2 tackles. With 1 for loss, which was the sack. George Karlaftis wasn't as big, but 2 tackles. Frank Clark, Darius Harris, Mike Danna, Nazee Johnson, Brian Cook, Michael Burton, and Jack Cochran, they all had 1 tackle. And Carlos Dunlap had 2 QB hits. Let's throw his name in there. For Philly, they didn't get any sacks and only had 1 tackle for loss from Javon Hargrave. And for tackles, Avante Maddox, 7 tackles. TJ Edwards, 6 tackles. Marcus Epps, 6 tackles. James Bradbury and Javon Hargrave, 5. Darius Lake, Kaiser White, and CJ Gardner-Johnson, 4 tackles. And then Fletcher Cox, Hassan Reddick, Josh Sweat, Jack Stoll, Milton Williams, Aaron Sipos, Ndamukong Suh, and Jordan Davis, they all had 1 tackle. No, wait, no, sorry. Ndamukong Suh and Jordan Davis didn't have a tackle. They each had a QB hit. My bad. I'll tell you, one key point in this game is Hassan Reddick and Fletcher Cox were absolutely nowhere. They did not get any pressure on Patrick Mahomes. Not sure how many dropbacks Patrick Mahomes had compared to how many times he was hit or pressured, but he wasn't as much as he should have been. He's not pressured a lot.
Obviously, punt returns. Kadarius Toney had the big punt return for 65 yards. That's another key point in that game. And that's, I think, all I'm going to go over from the Super Bowl. Again, the Chiefs won 38 to 35. Absolutely an amazing game. I hope y'all enjoyed watching it because I sure did. Next up on the agenda, Derek Carr was released just before the contract deadline. He's had a little falling out with the Raiders earlier in the year. The Vegas Raiders, they saved a lot of money. They saved $40 million, I think. That's crazy. So where do I think Derek Carr could go? Well, he did visited with the Saints last week. He could go there. There are a lot of places he could go. He could be used in, let's say, he could be used in New York Jets. He could be used in Washington. He could be used in sh not Chicago. Shoot, what's it called? Houston, obviously. Indianapolis. They could be used in Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans, Tampa, any of these teams, really. And I'll throw maybe Seattle, depending on what they do with Geno Smith. If they keep him, they won't need a guy like Derek Carr. But if they decide to get rid of Geno, which they shouldn't, I could see it happen, but they shouldn't, then Derek Carr wouldn't be a bad option. There's a lot of places that could use a guy like Derek Carr, I'll be honest. But now it's time to go to a little bit of a different thing. We got two football leagues coming up in the spring and summer, XFL and USFL. There's a couple guys you might know. These are some here's the quarterbacks. Drew Plitt, Kyle Sloter, Eric Dungy. Dungy played for the Syracuse Orange a couple years ago. Caleb Ellaby, Brandon Silvers, Luis Perez, Jalen McClendon, DeAndre Francois, Quentin Dorme, Juwan Pass, Anthony Russo, Ben DiNucci of the former Cowboys quarterback Steven Montez, AJ McCarron, former NFL journeyman Ryan Willis. Who else is a major player coming out of the XFL? Martavis Bryant. You would know Martavis Bryant. Those are for sure someone you know. I believe there's also Kalen Ballage. Among others, obviously. There's a lot of players. You might remember Martavis Bryant. He had a big stint with the Steelers. Played pretty solid, then got waived because of drug problems, we'll call it. I believe PEDs. What's his name? Ben DiNucci, former NFL quarterback for the Cowboys. AJ McCarron, he played in a lot of places. Another guy, Vic Beasley. He had a pretty solid career in the NFL. Cody Latimer, former wide receiver, or anyone will call it. And PJ Hall, might remember him as well. I'm trying to see if I can recognize anyone else. Actually, I'll just go over what the names of the teams are. We got the Arlington Renegades coming out of Texas. The DC Defenders coming out of Washington, DC. We have the Houston Roughnecks coming out of Texas as well. We have the Orlando Guardians, San Antonio Brahmas, the Seattle Sea Dragons, home of Ben DiNucci, St. Louis Battlehawks, the Vegas Vipers. Woo-hoo. That's some pretty unique names, I'll be honest. Those are some unique names. Jeez. Okay, let's take a look at these uniforms. You can look them up. Wow. Looking at them, they use some pretty unique colors. These are not the colors I expected. The Arlington Renegades, they got this nice like light blue with navy and red. It's pretty solid. DC Defenders got this red, white, and gray look. It's pretty solid.
I love the Houston Roughnecks. That is nice. I think all of the inside collars are inscripted with blood, sweat, respect, which is also pretty cool. The Houston Roughnecks, I think, is what the Cowboys, or sorry, the Cowboys, the Texans jersey should look like. You should look them up if you haven't seen them yet. It's got navy blue with white shoulders. It's got some solid, I think, a cool numbering where the top is like a fading red into this navy blue. It looks really nice. Orlando Gardens is a mix of gray, light green, and dark green, which I also think looks pretty cool. The Brahmas, probably missing, or not saying the name right. They've got a cool, like, not Steelers, but Steelers colors, but it looks very much different from the Steelers. It's got a black, like a charcoal gray, actually, with the yellow. Seattle Sea Dragons, they got nice red and black. Let's see, the St. Louis Battlehawks. It's a nice, it kind of looks like the Duke football jerseys for college. It's got a nice blue with some white and gray in it. The Vegas Vipers looks insane though. Them Vegas Vipers, they got a just clean red and black. It is clean. So that is it for this episode, though. Gone over all three things. Derek Carr getting released. The XFL starting this Saturday. It's this Saturday, folks. The 18th and 19th. So let's watch some of that. I mean, some of these guys in the NFL have come out. Panthers backup quarterback PJ Walker played a couple games this year. He came out of the XFL. Taylor Heinicke, the legend. He was a backup in the XFL. And now he was fighting for the starter spot with the Washington Commanders. There's been some good players come out of the XFL. Let's not count this league out. All right. Let me just say that. But that'll be it for this episode. Thank you for listening slash watching. If you're on YouTube, go check out my YouTube. And I'll see you next week.